We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Sit beside a sukkah, eat a festive meal. Sit inside a sukkah, so good it'll make you feel. Sit inside a sukkah, drink a cup of wine.
Fine.
Sit inside a sukkah, you'll feel so divine.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. Very poignant, very things are happening in the Jewish community in Metro Detroit. Word has it that a major part of the JCC in West Bloomfield is going to be knocked down, and we'll be talking with Executive Director of the JCC of Greater Detroit, Mr. Brian Siegel. This is the holiday of Sukkot. Again, there is no portion. Well, it kind of sort of is because it's Simchas Torah. That's on Sunday, the only portion of the week which is read on not on a Saturday ever. And we'll talk about Simchas Torah, and maybe we'll tie in a little bit of bracha, but I don't know if I'm going to get there. We've got great music throughout, a couple of Sukkot tunes, because this is, you know, it's still the week of Sukkot. And great story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel is experiencing close to 9,000 cases of COVID a day. The country is on an intense lockdown for the entire Sukkot holiday. Two Palestinians who crossed into Gaza, into Israel from Gaza, like, what are they thinking? You know, like, hello, I'm not going into Israel. But anyway, they threw a grenade at IDF soldiers. The grenade did not explode. The two were arrested. Israel, here's a little bit of switch of a turn of events. Israel delivered the first of two Iron Dome missile systems to the U.S. Army. Normally, it's the U.S. selling military expertise and weaponry to Israel, but Israel has now turned the table. The rockets will be used in the defense of U.S. troops against rocket attacks, which is what the Iron Dome is for. Israel and Lebanon will participate in U.S.-led talks to try to settle their maritime border dispute. The two countries have been quarreling since natural gas was discovered in the Mediterranean off the coast of Israel. Israel and Nepal signed an agricultural cooperation agreement. The treaty will strengthen relations between the two countries and help Nepal develop its agricultural sector. The student bodies of Columbia University, University of Illinois, Southern Florida University, and about a dozen other colleges passed pro-BDS resolutions. It is illegal in this country for universities to support BDS movement, and so the resolutions have very little effect. And finally, here's some good news for you wine aficionados. Six Israeli wines took gold at the Decanter International Wine Competition. Peak by Psagot scored the highest with 96. There were also 38 silver medals, 27 bronze. No Israeli wine took best in show. More than 16,000 wines were tasted at the show. That's a lot of tasting. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I have online Mr. Brian Siegel, who's the executive director of the Jewish Community Center in Metro Detroit. We're going to be talking about things happening at the JCC and how they're going to affect the Jewish community. How are you today, Brian?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to come out and explain things going on. Okay.
Sure,
so there was some startling, shocking, eye-raising, whatever news that came out, hit the paper. It's even hit the national news outlets. Those people who didn't hear, what's going on at the JCC?
So JCC, its board, made the heartbreaking decision to close its historic health club after decades of operation. And we're heartbroken because there are so many people who use the health club at the JCC to, you know, as their source of community. And that's what we do as the JCC. We build Jewish community. And so we are in a mournful place as we acknowledge how heartbreaking that is to so many people. We've closed our health club. We are in the process of engaging with our members to reinvent wellness programming at the JCC. So it's not the end of the story in terms of delivering programs and classes that can keep people fit or keep people emotionally well and connected. And it's really important for us to note that the JCC itself is not closing the health club. Many people perceive that the JCC is a health club, and we've always been very, very proud of our health club, but it represents 8% of our budget because we're the predominant engine for programming, literally thousands of programs every year, whether it's J Family or J Baby or PJ Library or Film Festival and a whole bunch of Sage, and, you know, it just goes on and on. I think we have 40 different programs, but the JCC itself is not closing its building in West Bloomfield, but our historic health club operation is closing.
Okay. So it sounds to us like the JCC as a living organism is now redefining itself. Let's go back in history. When was the JCC of Detroit first opened, and why did it open? What did they need it for?
You know, we've been open 100 years. I can't remember a specific date, and I know my JCC historians will correct me, but we've been open like a really long time. And JCCs were built as, and this is around the country, as safe havens for Jewish people who didn't feel safe or wanted a place where they felt like they belonged, especially in a world that didn't feel so safe, a place where they could be members, where they weren't excluded from being members. And it evolved over time to create and deliver services in and around space, including health clubs. And what we refer to as the real estate-based paradigm JCC was created in Detroit, but also created around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember as a kid living in Newark, and what was then called the YMYWHA, the Young Men's Young Women's Hebrew Association, to parallel the YMCA. So because the word CH is kind of like, I'm not walking in that place. But, it was always a home. I remember I learned how to swim when I was 5 years old at the Y. And it was always a place where Jews went for different types of things.
Yep.
So as the community developed and spread out and became more affluent, how did the needs of the JCC change?
Right. So I think that the paradigm shift that I'm alluding to relates to the fact that over time, Jewish people look to the GCC less and less as a provider of safe space and more as a catalyst for connection. So the current form of connection, although when we talk current, you're talking about the pandemic, we're talking about Zoom and online, but leaving that momentary blip aside, people connect predominantly through programming, and we're very proud of our role as a catalyst for world-class programming and looking less towards being havens of safe space because younger generations aren't looking for us to provide that for them. And the health club became a victim of that shift. And that's heartbreaking because younger people don't make a decision to join a health club necessarily because other Jewish people are working out there. That's not a fact of our engineering. That's just change. Some people would argue bad change. Some people would argue good change. But it's a fact that if you interviewed a young person and you ask them what were the parameters of their health club decision, very few, if any, would say it's to work out next to another Jewish person. That doesn't mean we don't value working out next to another person, nor does it mean that we in any way think that the people who do value that shouldn't value that. It's just the fact of a changing need in the community.
Yeah, I mean, me as a personally, I maybe want to walk into a place called the YMCA, but a Fitness USA, a Planet Fitness, something more generic like that. I mean, it did strike me as always ridiculous way back when, I don't know how long it was, there was a study done as to why it was that health club members left, and one of the reasons was is because it was too far of a walk from the parking lot. Like, I left me scratching my head. Yeah. Yes, you're going to work out, and you can't walk the extra 20 feet to the front door.
You're bringing up a super important point, though, which is, and I think this is a great topic, is the notion of friction, right? So walking a longer distance is a point of friction, right? So what has Amazon done in this world? It's reduced friction. You know, you can pay with one click. And what happens is that once somebody establishes a platform where you pay with one click, when you go to another place and pay with three clicks, you're annoyed. Is it fair? Or maybe it's even silly, but that's human psychology. So the overarching concept of friction is important, and you can't ignore it. So one big friction is distance. So health club people in the health club industry would tell you there's a catchment area, an area in which you are close enough to something in the health club where you have a chance of capturing that person. Well, when the JCC became a catchment area, as opposed to a core value of working out with other people, then we became more like a widget in that area. Once again, I'm going to emphasize, we're not a widget for the people who build community around what we do in the health club area. And that's why we mourn this loss. It's just for more and more people, we became a widget. And that hurts you in a very, very competitive marketplace over time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I was being a little bit flippant, and you turned it into a very salient point. Thank you so much. Our guest today is Brian Siegel. He's the Executive Director of the Jewish Community Center in Detroit. We're talking about the evolving, changing GCC as they have announced that they are closing their health club, which seemed to be a pivotal part of the JCC. So there is this impression, I don't know if this is marketing, if it was the way it was, at some point maybe it was this way, but you yourself mentioned it, but I, in my opinion, always thought that the center of the JCC was a place where Jewish people could go and work out. There's the basketball, the swimming pool, the health club. Yep. I got sat in my first schwitz when I was 5 years old, thank you very much, at the Y in Newark. And here you're telling me it was only really made up 8% of the budget?
Yeah, so I think we've had the thing about brand is brands are sticky. And brands can help you, but brands can hurt you. So for some people who weren't aware of the breadth of everything else that we do, and like I said, you know, our J Baby programs, J Family, P PJ Library, Melton, Book Fair, Film Festival, Sage, you know, we're just, our Child Development Center, our day camp, the Berman programming online and ultimately back in person. It just represents the health club that ended up representing much smaller, but our brand was lodged in this physical paradigm of what is a JCC. So when I started the JCC, a friend of mine said, Brian, I don't know why we need a health club in this community. And it broke my heart because I wanted to say, hey, we're so much more than that. That didn't mean we weren't proud of our health club, but it reflected to me a brand challenge that the JCCs, not only our JCC, but JCCs around the country have as to how we're perceived in this older paradigm of physical plant. So that's our challenge. And frankly, you know, this decision, some people interpret this decision as a community decision. And yes, we are part of a larger community, but the JCC has made this decision to close its health club 100% on its own. It's our choice to lean into the program paradigm. And obviously the pandemic accelerated this change. We never anticipated having to make this change so abruptly. But we believe in the future of the JCC as an engine for building Jewish community through programming and flipping the script on this brand perception of the real estate paradigm JCC is a challenge, but we're up for it, and we intend to change people's minds because no one impacts people on a day-to-day basis through programming as much as the JCC. I think the recent study showed that we had a 51% impact on Jewish people in Detroit, far more than any other institution, and that's no slight on any other institution, but I think people misunderstand, because of that brand perception, the reach of the JCC.
Okay, that actually segues me into my next question, which is going to be a little bit long of a question, and probably the answers are going to be a lot shorter. But anyway, growing up around visiting in various parts of the country, comes to mind that when I was in Vancouver, they had a JCC, which was called the JCC, and the members used to make a joke that they really shouldn't call it the JCC, they should call it the BDJCC, because it was right across the street from the bus depot, and there were more bus drivers that were members than there were Jews. Yeah. So when we came to Detroit in 1988, I believe the JCC in Detroit was at that time the only JCC left in North America that had an exclusively Jewish membership, which that changed maybe 5 years later, I'm not sure, 1992, 93, somewhere around there, where you started admitting it. So here's the question is, how much really is the JCC geared for the Jewish community? How much does the Jewish community really need the JCC? And I'm taking this in light of what happened with Sinai Hospital. Sinai Hospital was initially intended because you had Jewish doctors that couldn't get on staff, and it was a place where Jews could go to. And then the community realized, the Jewish community doesn't need to be supporting a hospital, and they closed Sinai Hospital. Maybe this is the way that the JCC is going to go too?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I couldn't disagree more, but I would assume you would expect that from me. But let me tell you why. I happen to be a believer that Jewish community is built even when it's Jews interacting or engaging with non-Jewish people. Now, obviously, there's a critical mass where if you're serving predominantly non-Jewish people, your mission is not being served, because if your mission is to build Jewish community, that's what your goal is, and you're not serving predominantly Jewish people. Now, people could argue what percentage is necessary to be serving predominantly Jewish people. You certainly become less of an attractive investment by the community. Now, what's happened and why I think the JCC is so critical, so central, that its mission is more important than ever, is that we're living in a world, in a Jewish community world, where people are more spread out. There's tremendous opportunity for isolation through computers and other things. And what we're finding is that the demand for Jewish connection through programming is greater than ever. It's our programs are bustling. We cannot keep up with the demand for our programming. The health club may be an exception to that, but all of our Jewish learning, Melton, Fed Ed, Jay Learn, there's no program limit to that. And I think the reason for that is that a lot of traditional vehicles for engagement in the Jewish community are going through change. But the need to engage with other Jewish people is greater than ever. And the JCC sees itself as both a provider of and catalyst for world-class Jewish education. And as a result, we're more central than ever. It's just how we do that is in the midst of the change. So that is my very strong advocacy with you to share with you that this is a golden moment for the JCC and not a sunset moment of the JCC like it was for Sinai Hospital. So if the JCC, however, stuck to the real estate paradigm, it would become extinct. So that's why this pivot that's symbolized by the closing of the health club represents such a sea change for our community and a heartbreaking one with real cost to people that we're really trying hard to mitigate. But this is the 10,000-foot issue. The JCC, the need to bring people together is greater than ever. The need to build Jewish community and the demand for that is better than ever, higher than ever. But just how we do it has just become different.
Okay, our guest again today is Brian Siegel, who's the Executive Director of the Jewish Community Center of Detroit. We're talking about what's been happening at the JCC and closing down the health club. 8 years ago, there was a whole big tutteram that really stirred up the community here with the closing of the Oak Park JCC. So yeah. The question then is had numbers been realigned? My wife was participant in many of those meetings, and at that time I had Scott Kaufman on my show, and 3 years later I had Scott Kaufman back on my show. He was the director of the Jewish Federation as to what would be replacing the JCC. And it seemed that the people that were participating in those meetings felt that decisions were being railroaded and that the West Bloomfield JCC is where all the money is, and there's not really a whole lot of need for a JCC in Oak Park, and we have a donor who's going to come and replace the thing, and it's going to be a leaner, meaner, and we're going to know the programs are going to be replaced, and none of that happened. So had the numbers been crunched differently back then 8 years ago, and they would have said, you know, there's programming, there's stuff going on in West Bloomfield, which is really taxing, would have it allowed the JCC and Oak Park to remain open?
So let me share with you my really heartfelt feelings. The heartbreak that we're experiencing today, I would multiply even more so for leaving Oak Park. Well, I'm going to get in trouble for that. And the reason I say that is that I think that we will ultimately partner with our community who use the health club to deliver at least a very good portion of really compelling fitness and wellness programming. In Oak Park and in West Bloomfield today, we're not closing the building. We're closing 8% of our operation. In Oak Park, we closed 100% of our operation. And that was devastating. It was a loss of community for even the people who didn't use the center because this institution had left their town. And I still, the hair goes up on my back of my neck when I think about that. And that's why we intend to open and have specific plans to open a much smaller but very dynamic JCC in the Oak Park or Berkeley or Ferndale area. So it is, you know, a very major focus of our JCC to have what we're referring to as an off-center program center in that area. Now, it happens to be that that building was really ill-fit. It could not be successful and needed to, as heartbreaking as it was, it no longer functioned the way it needed to function. And it was losing so much money.
Could you explain? Because the pool was pretty much, I would still call it if it's not brand new, it was relatively new because there had been renovations. Sure. They had done a demographic. So when we came to Detroit, there was no pool at the JCC in Oak Park. And then there was a lot of money put into it. And there was all kinds of weatherization and modernization of infrastructure so that it was a more of an efficient building. And it was well utilized by the people in Southfield, Oak Park, Huntington Woods, Berkeley, sure. Farmington, Ferndale. So if you'd like to explain, what do you mean it wasn't being utilized properly?
What I was saying is that the structure of the building, even in its modernized form, was losing money at such a great rate that there wasn't sufficient motivation to fund those losses. And so I believe that decision to close that building was that building was losing so much money that it would have required essentially just to fund the losses a $20 million endowment just to fund the losses of the building, and the JCC did not have the wherewithal, and I wish we did, to fund those losses. But just coming back to my original discussion, Rabbi, and this I think is super important, is that building was based on the real estate paradigm JCC. So let's say the community decided to put $20 million into that building. In my opinion, we no longer need these mega structures to deliver on the core JCC promise. Now, it happens to be there's a unique need for a pool in that community, and I understand that. And I think that's something that there are community donors who are most anxious to deliver that, and I'm hoping the JCC can play a role. But what's looking at the building as a whole, the losses associated with it, not to mention the fact that it was built upon a basis that what we're talking about in this discussion is no longer the future of the JC, that is the problem, right? So the combination of the financial implication, along with the fact, just like the health club that in West Bloomfield, that it is not aligned with the way JCCs are going to deliver community in the future, made that a point of inevitability. But the whole goal of the JCC is to have and bring its world-class programming to a much more efficient, smaller facility in the Oak Park area. But the concept of the 150,000 square foot community center is in the rearview mirror. The JCCs across the country will no longer be able to operate that way and do it effectively. So, like the health club, but even more so, the loss of presence in an entire community made that wound one that is real. And I'm hoping that the JCC is going to play its part in repairing to the extent possible. I know there are people who hear this and say, there's nothing you can do that will undo that heart-wrenching decision. I get that. But I believe that having a space that is a catalyst for engagement programming is the future of the JCC, and we fully intend to do that in that area.
Okay. Was Scott Kaufman telling the truth when he said he had a donor willing to pay $8 million for the rebuilding of a JCC in West in Oak Park?
You're asking me the hardest questions. The answer is 100% yes. There was. I know Scott very, very well, and Scott is a man of absolute integrity. And I think that what happened, and you learn these lessons, I'm not saying Scott was wrong to say what he said, is that things change. And until there's a shovel in the ground, that's why sometimes people complain, well, this happened and you didn't engage with us, so tell us about it. Well, maybe in retrospect there, they shouldn't have announced something, just in retrospect, until all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. That's nobody's fault, other than in community work, if you're in it long enough, you'll know that things change and circumstances change there. And they weren't ultimately able to deliver on that promise, and that hurt people's feelings as well. So I'm sure Scott would feel bad about that, but I know that his intention was based on good information in that time. It's just that ultimately circumstances changed.
Okay. So what's going to happen now with – we're running out of time very quickly over here. What's going to happen now with the health club? Is it going to get knocked down? Is it going to be repurposed?
Well, the JCC for a long time has been trying to right-size its real, you know, consistent with the conversation we just had. So the intention is that the JCC's footprint at the West Bloomfield campus will go from 340,000 square feet to 140,000 square feet. That's by changing its status from sub-landlord of the whole building to an anchor tenant like the Frankel Jewish Academy. And that will have an incredibly positive impact on the long-term financial viability of the JCC, because it won't be fated to hold up a building that its business operations can't support. It's going to be more nimble. A critical element of that is having a small center in the Oak Park area, but really getting out of this real estate business and not having huge physical plants.
Okay, understood. That's going to do it to wrap it up. Our guest today has been Mr. Brian Siegel, the Executive Director of the Detroit Jewish Day, the Detroit, let's start this way, the Jewish Community Center of Detroit, and all the things that are happening, what it's morphing into, and I hope we have we can call you back and see when the dust settles, quite literally, and the phoenix has risen. We can come back on and you can tell us all kinds of glowing reports, Brian.
Well, I look forward to it. I really appreciate the opportunity. I know this is a hard time, but we're very excited about our role, our historic role to build community, maybe just doing it in a different way.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, that's going to do it.
Thank you
again so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Thank you.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Shul Sundman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. After that, we got to remember Simchas Torah is coming up this week. Simchas Torah is definitely Jewish party day. It's like there are people who really don't sleep. Then this would be Saturday night until Sunday night, because what are they doing? They're dancing with the Torah. So up next, this is Kol Simcha. It's called Taras Freilich, Mr. Taras's happy song.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Just to let you know that One Stop is now called The Grove. It has been totally revamped, redesigned, redone, redecorated, refurbished, and it's really nice. you want to go check it out. It's a great shopping experience. They have tremendous services for you, and it's a really comfortable place to go. And that's on Greenfield Road, just at 696. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is as a result of the treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. This song is composed by Elkanah Marciano, an Israeli, and sung together with Walid Al-Jassim, an Emirati, and the song is called Shalom Achi, Welcome My Brother.
يا سلام يا بابا يا سلام يا ماما يا سلام يا سلام كل ولاد العالم
يا سلام يا ابا يا سلام يا ايما يا سلام يا سلام كل ولاد العالم
You hear me friend far away far away You hear my friend
I hear you friend far away far away I hear you
صديقي يا سلام يا صاحبي
يا سلام يا سلام ما شلوم خيا بنادم
يا سلام جماعة يا شباب يا الله يا سلام يا الكلام
يا وليد خفلة
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, there is no portion being read in the synagogue on Saturday, as it is Shmini Atzeres, and therefore, we're going to talk about Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. What's the deal over here? The It says in the Medrash that Simchas, during the holiday of Sukkot, 70 sacrifices are offered, special, and they represent the 70 nations of the world. And each day, on the first day of Sukkot, there's 13, and the next day there's 12, and the next day there's 11, so in the course of 7 days, there's 70. On the eighth day, which is Shmini Atzeres, which is technically speaking, if you really analyze it, not part of Sukkot, because in Israel, for example, they're not sitting in the Sukkah. They're back inside. And in America, outside of Israel, they're still sitting in the Sukkah because it might be the seventh day, might be the eighth day, that's for another time. The on Shmini Atzeres, there was one sacrifice. And it's kind of like what the Almighty is saying. It says, because Sukkot, which is one of the things that Sukkot is celebrating, is the appropriation for water for the entire year. How much water, how much rain is going to fall throughout the world, and where and when and how much. And so it's for the benefit of humankind. It's like a king who has a party, a huge party. And all the people come to this huge party, and after the party is closing down, he goes to his good buddy and says, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. Let's just stick around one more day, and you and I, we're going to have a party. So that's what Shmini Atzeres is. It's God saying, you know, I want to have a party just with you. And it happens that because the way that the events happened and folded from the giving of the Torah, that's on Shavuos, which happened way back in June, and then the perpetration of the golden calf 40 days later, and then the Jewish people having to been forgiven and their sins absolved on Yom Kippur, there never was a time to actually celebrate the completion of the giving of the Torah. So the Torah cycle is not started with the time when it was given, but only after the holiday of Sukkot. We read it after the next week. We'll be starting all the way again from the beginning with Genesis 1:1, and therefore concluding. And it says that the Torah itself is happy because it's 3,300 plus years that the Jews have been reading the Torah weekly in the synagogue. And the Torah itself says, I really want to dance. But there's one of these commercials that it says over there, but the Torah says, I have no legs. I can't dance. You have legs. You have to carry me, and you have to take me around and dance. And the more that you're dancing, that's the more that I'm dancing. And as I'm saying, there were people in some of this Torah that they just don't go to sleep. They stay up all night dancing with the Torah. And the idea about dancing is at that point is a big scholar and an ignoramus can both dance. It doesn't matter at that point. And the Torah says, I don't care. I want to dance. I want to be happy. Speaking of happy, well, we're getting to the end of the hour, which I don't know if that's happy or not, but we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We've got a great story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital, the same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herr Schulfinman, here you're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. We got lots of great things to see up there. First of all, there's a way to contact me right on the homepage. There's also archived editions of the radio show. There's other ways in which we convey Judaism in an interesting and entertaining way. There is the very important donations page, which we talk about every week. And we're in October. It's the beginning of October. And I'll make this pledge that I can make every single month, but has yet to happen, that if you guys contribute enough now at the beginning of the month, I won't make the pledge. If we pay off October, thank God we're up. I mean, it always happens that just at the last minute, this morning on the way to the station, when I was about to record the show, I dropped a check in the mail for them. So it always happens. It's 25 years we're doing this, but it's just right on the edge. So if you want to hear a longer story and not hear me talk about how you can help the only Jewish radio program coming out of Detroit, Michigan, now 25 years in the making and continuing and growing and providing you with entertaining and interesting and exciting ways in experiencing Judaism via podcast, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. Click on donations. Make it a monthly donation. I've got a lot of people doing $5 a month. And anytime anybody sends me any donation, I always acknowledge it because my mother always told me, when someone gives you something, say thank you. So do it today. If you don't like the idea of giving out your credit card over the internet, which I understand, it always makes me gives me the heebie-jeebies, you can drop your donation of any amount in some sort of a mailing receptacle, put the proper postage in the upper right-hand corner, and address it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Coming up at Jewish Ferndale, well, on Tuesday nights, we have on my Facebook page, Herschel Finman Facebook, we have the book review from the Rothschild Lending Library. If you're listening to this during the week of Sukkot, so we have a sukkah up, and I will be there in the afternoon, just kind of like hanging out, sitting there, and you can come by, socially distance, and I'll help you with shaking the lulav and the esrog, and maybe there might be something there you could say a bracha on, blessing it for sitting in the sukkah. It'll be happening. I'm not doing anything big because there's a pandemic out there, thank you very much. I mean, if President Trump can get it, I sure for sure don't want to get it. So that's not a slight on President Trump. It means that if he was taking precautions and still got it, I'm taking super precautions, and I for sure don't want to get it. That's what I meant to say. So anyway, so come on by. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive. Love to see you sometime in the afternoon, later in the afternoon, 5-ish. It would be great. Okay, the Hasidic story happened last year, actually, and it doesn't involve a Rebbe. It involves actually a Chassid. There was a young man whose name is just called Chaim in the story, who would go to a certain bus station, a bus stop is what it was in Israel, and they had just like a little tiny structure there where people would get there, buy their tickets and that kind of stuff, and, you know, they would get chewing gum, a magazine, and he would stand there, and once a week he would go there, and he would put tefillin on people on Friday afternoons. So, but during Sukkot, so he had to off from work, and he went every single day, and he stood by the bus stop, and every single day there were people, new people, who did not yet do the mitzvah. And this was even happened on Hashanah Rabbah, the last day of the week. And he was thinking to himself, there's still people who haven't done this mitzvah. There's an extra blessing, which is said the first time that you do it, Shehecheyanu. But the sun was going down. He's got to get ready for Simchas Torah. In Israel, it's only one day. And so he got on his bicycle, and he's late. He wants to go to the mikveh. He wants to prepare. And he just started speeding on his bicycle, but his pants cuff got caught in his bicycle chain. Oh, no. And he couldn't brake, and he just, like, instead of crashing into something, very smart, he steered down a side street until he managed to able to stop the bike without, like, causing himself all kinds of horrible damage. But now he was stuck. He couldn't get his pant leg off. He couldn't get off the bike. He couldn't, and he didn't want to rip his pants. There's a guy who was walking by. He said, "Hey, come here. Could you help me, please? My leg is stuck." The guy got him out. And the guy was just a factory worker type person in an industrial neighborhood he's in. Says, "Tony, if you could bring the music up behind me." Says, "What's in your basket?" And he told him, "Lulav Etrog and Lulav and Esrog, special for the holiday." He said, "I didn't have an opportunity to do it this year." So as the sun was going down at the very last moment, this young man helped this other worker person shake the lulav and esrog, say a shechiyana v'kimana v'higiyana l'zman hazeh, thanking for coming to this day. And that's what we're going to wish you. We want to thank you for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you. We hope you dance your toes off on Simchas Torah. Even if you're by yourself, you got to dance, because the Torah says, "I want to be happy." And we'll see you next week. Take care.